time to get away. It's time to get away from you. It's time to get away. It's time to get away from you. You bought a lot of money.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Michael Tomasky, a special correspondent for Newsweek and The Daily Beast and editor of Democracy, a Journal of Ideas. He has the cover story in the current issue of Newsweek, Mitt Romney's Wimp Factor, A Mouse in the White House. Welcome to Background Briefing, Michael Tomasky.
Nice to be with you.
And just to read the subtitle or the slug for your cover article in the current issue of Newsweek, Mitt Romney's Wimp Factor, dodging reporters, fearing his base, hiding his taxes. Is Mitt Romney just too insecure to be president? So that's a shot across his bow.
You know, look at the way, look at the evidence that we put forward in the piece. I think the things that you just mentioned from that subtitle lead us towards certain conclusions about a guy who doesn't want to. Two things in particular stand out to me. Number one, he kind of doesn't want to have to really want to run a race. He just sort of feels like he should win because the economy's bad and his career is in business. So he's not releasing his tax returns. He's not taking specific positions, which even Republicans criticize him for, Bill Kristol and George Will and other people. And he's just trying all the things that one has to do normally to become president. He's trying to skate in without having to do them. Number two, and I think even more importantly, is his failure, complete unwillingness to take even one position, even one, that stands up in any way to the right-wing base of the Republican Party. And he has flipped, Ian, on six or seven major issues from his earlier races: abortion, immigration, which where he once supported a path to amnesty and now does not, gun control, he once supported an assault weapons ban, a couple of other social issues, and of course health care, where, you know, he's now denounces his own plan. I can guarantee you, nobody ever has run for president in the modern history of this country flip-flopping like that to accommodate and pander to a base. Nobody.
Well, it seems if you combine his attitude, which is, I think, apparent, and his wife's, who said, "We've given you people all you need to know about our taxes," there does appear to be a kind of sense of entitlement about them. That, and I think as a president, he will sort of be the CEO of America, where he'll essentially, instead of having a press secretary, they'll just release press reports. There'll be no access. He's been running for about 10 years, and he's never bothered to even inform himself on foreign policy, and right. he'll just outsource that to the neocons. I mean, that seems to be what's shaping up here. We're going to have the first kind of corporate CEO of USA Incorporated.
The thing that really bothers me is that he's not really taking serious positions in this campaign in any way, shape, or form. Now, John McCain, you know, he did a bit of the same kind of game, but by gosh, if you go back and look at John McCain's 2008 health care proposal, it was pretty specific and pretty detailed. You know, I mean, there was a lot of it that I didn't necessarily agree with, but there was a lot that I did agree with, and he had an individual mandate in there. But it was very detailed, down to, you know, very particular things about medical loss ratios and things like that. Romney's doing none of that. He's not taking actual positions that have to do with governing the country. He's just issuing bromides that he knows will please the right-wing vote.
So is that to say then that he is really kind of a corporate CEO or a pitchman for Bain Capital, in the sense that he'll just say anything to close the deal? Is that what it comes down to?
Yeah, I think that's pretty well said. Yeah, he'll say anything to close the deal. And we're supposed to take it on faith somehow that once he gets in there, he's going to be serious. Well, how do I know that? How do I know that he's going to be serious about governing once he's in there? How do I know that he's not going to do Grover Norquist's bidding and the evangelical right's bidding on social issues? Every indication he's given us is that that's all he's going to do, is do those people's bidding. So, I mean, that's just not a strong person. That's a weak person.
Again, I'm speaking with Michael Tomasky, who's a special correspondent for Newsweek and The Daily Beast, and editor of Democracy, a Journal of Ideas. He has the cover story in the current issue of Newsweek, Mitt Romney's Wimp Factor, A Mouse in the White House. So doesn't this, though, the Wimp Factor broaden out largely beyond Romney and into the whole Republican Party, in as much as the Republican establishment, who've just been, you know, bruised repeatedly, mugged, I guess, if you like, with Murdoch beating a very, very highly regarded Republican, Dick Lugar. Romney just campaigned for Murdoch over the weekend. You've got this blowout in Texas with Ted Cruz, the Hispanic Cuban American who can't speak Spanish, by the way. And it seems to me that the reporting says, oh, you know, the Republican establishment just took another hit from the Tea Party. The Republican establishment is basically supine and rolled over for them, haven't they?
Yeah, no one will stand up and say anything. They're a terrified, spineless bunch. You're absolutely right. It was very emblematic in 2009. When in March of 2009, Chuck Grassley, the senator from Iowa, certainly conservative, like Dick Lugar, no question, quite a conservative guy, but not a radical. In March of 2009, Chuck Grassley was saying the individual mandate is something that there's been a lot of agreement about on both sides of the aisle. Then he went home. Then the summer happened. He went home for a few town hall meetings. Came back to Washington, tweeting about killing grandma. And that was just fear. That was fear of what he saw back at home in those town hall meetings, and fear of the idea that he might face a primary from the right. And that's how they're all operating. Lugar did it too, Orrin Hatch. You know, Barney Frank had a great line in an interview he did with New York Magazine a few months ago. And the interviewer asked him something like, have they all basically become Michelle Bachmann? And he said, that's overstating it. About half of them are Michelle Bachmann, and the other half are afraid of being primaried by Michelle Bachmann. That's the reality.
Well, it seems, though, that you've got to go beyond, I think, the Tea Party phenomenon to really ask the question, who's backing the Tea Party and what do they get out of it? Because one of the great paradoxes of the Tea Party, they were born out of outrage over the TARP payment to rescue Wall Street. And yet their current policies are totally pro-Wall Street. It seems that they are the most reliable corporate vote out there. They basically do the bidding of the big, powerful interests that seem to be backing them, whether it's money being laundered through Grover Norquist or Dick Armey. That's what I'd like to get an understanding of what the quid pro quo here is, because they are bomb throwers. They are obstructionists. But what do the people that are funding them get out of it?
They get troops on the ground who support a very pro-corporatist position and make it sound to the average news viewer like it's a prairie populist position. So they're pretty lucky. They're coming out of this pretty happy. I mean, if I were David Koch, I'd wake up every morning and say, man, I can't believe my good fortune. Here I am, you know, my agenda is really, you know, protect my money. Protect the money of people who are rich like me, and the free enterprise system as I define it. And lo and behold, here I've got these people, you know, who make $60,000 a year out there, you know, with bloodlust in their eyes, defending my position.
Well, just to touch on Ted Cruz, who beat a very conservative candidate in the Lieutenant Governor Dewhurst of Texas, who was a protege of Governor Perry's, and nobody could argue that Perry's anything but an arch-conservative. Although what's interesting about Cruz is that he's a very, very intelligent guy with a fairly impressive resume. Is it possible that he could become a leader of this movement, which is kind of inchoate, you know, largely doing the bidding of the oligarchs? But do you think it has the potential? You could argue that it's intimidated the Republican Party.
Yeah.
Whether it's taken it over or not is something that we should be watching, surely.
Yeah, you can't quite say that it's taken over the Republican Party, but you know, certainly the Republican Party is so far to the right of where it was in 2008 that it almost doesn't matter whether it's taken over. You know, it combined with reflexive, rabid anti-Obamaism, such that anything that Obama's for, they're against, even things that they were once for, as we well know, long list, payroll tax reduction, the individual mandate, the bailout, which many Republicans voted for, the first bailout when Bush was president, so on and so on. So you combine those two things, this Tea Party sentiment and the reflexive anti-Obamaism, and it just makes for a party that that is way out there, and you know, it almost doesn't matter whether the label on a particular candidate is Tea Party or not. They're just, you know, they're going to have to hew to a lot of, you know, very hardcore positions to hope to get elected.
Well, without appearing to resort to the sort of cheap hyperbole of the left where everybody's a fascist, it seems, though, that the Tea Party tactic, if you will, or their stance so far in the House has been of pure obstruction. And they do seem to fit the mold of the totalitarians, whether they were communists or Nazis, who entered the political process to bring down the government, not to participate in it. And after all, Mitch McConnell said that was his main priority, was to get rid of Obama. So it feels to me that these people really are totalitarians. They don't want to negotiate. They don't want to compromise. They just want to destroy.
They certainly want to destroy much of the domestic federal budget. There's no question about that. They probably don't want to destroy, you know, the defense establishment. I think they're probably fine with it. But there's no question that they just don't think the government should be doing a lot of the things that it does. And they want to destroy that. I don't know, Environmental Protection Agency. You know, people want to get rid of the Environmental Protection Agency until, of course, there's some kind of toxic dump in their district. Then they come. Then they're the first people on the phone to call the EPA and say, "Come help." Mm-hmm. But yeah, they want to. Grover Norquist's old phrase, you know, drown it in the bathtub.
So put it in the bathtub so you can strangle it or something.
Make
it small enough that it'll fit in the bathtub so you can drown it.
You can drown it, yeah.
So why do you think then, Michael Tomasky, that he's got a chance of winning, which he clearly does have?
Well, it's the simple reason, the economy. And you know, Barack Obama's at 47% approval rating and went or 48, and when an incumbent is below 50, he's in dangerous territory. So, you know, Mitt Romney has a good chance. Now, I don't think he has a great chance. I actually think that, particularly if you look at the Electoral College and weigh it out state by state, the Electoral College still pretty strongly favors Obama for a lot of reasons that, you know, we don't have the time to go into now, but just there are more ways to 270 electoral votes for Obama than there are for Romney. But, you know, that's not to say that some dynamic, you know, a new economic shock or setback of some kind in the fall might not change things and make Romney the favorite.
Just in closing, Michael Tomasky, we're going to be talking with the former Chief of Staff of the United States Congress's Joint Committee on Taxation, looking into Mitt Romney's taxes. And it seems to me that a lot of reporters are circling around the possibility, and this is pretty much what I've been told, is that it looks as the reason that Romney's playing hardball on his taxes and drawing a line there is that he may well have taken amnesty in 2009, when a lot of people, 35,000 wealthy Americans came in from the coal and had to be forgiven. They had to pay their back taxes, but they were put back into the system for hiding a lot of their money offshore. And do you have a sense that Harry Reid seems to be confident in his source. It's pretty perverse that the tables have turned on him. But do you think this tax thing is going to come to a head?
I think it will. It's just hard to imagine that Romney can go until Election Day not releasing his taxes, but maybe he can. It's pretty clear that he's going to try. This amnesty question, I think that would be pretty much a nuclear bomb. I think that would be really difficult for him to explain as a candidate for president of the United States. Other things, hard to say. A lot of people talk about the IRA. That's worth up to $100 million. How do you get that much money in an IRA, and what exactly are the benefits of it, and what did it save him? All these things, that devices and techniques that aren't available to regular people. I just nobody can make him release them, right? So I guess at some point.
But that tells you that there's some really good reason why he doesn't want them released.
It does, but still, if none of us knows, it's all speculation on everybody's part, right? And I'm sure they poll it every week or every 3 days, probably, inside that campaign. And the polling indicates that they're taking a smaller hit by doing this, by stonewalling, than they would be by releasing them and revealing what's in there.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us, Michael Tomasky.
A pleasure. Enjoyed it.
So did I. Again, I've been speaking with Michael Tomasky, special correspondent for Newsweek and The Daily Beast, and editor of Democracy, a Journal of Ideas. He has the cover story in the current issue of Newsweek, Mitt Romney's Wimp Factor, A Mouse in the White House. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking about what Mitt Romney is hiding in terms of his taxes.
That's worked out pretty well so far. But when they see the kind of person that you live.